The following programming is sponsored by Bishop Mary Enterprises, LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Real. Real. Relaxed. Relaxed. But relevant. But relevant. She's an absolute professional with a homegirl feel. Welcome to the Bishop Mary Show with Bishop Mary Foy Palmer, where she will discuss both religious and secular topics with various guests from all walks of life. So thanks for tuning in to the Bishop Mary Show. And now, here's Bishop Mary.
And top of the morning to you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is Bishop Mary. I'm here with my co-host, Brother Marcus.
We are here. How you doing, Bishop Mary?
And we got our first guest in transit. He's in transit. He's in this traffic. Oh, my God. I know. I just barely made it myself. But it is a rainy Monday, and we are grateful to be alive on this December the 16th, 2024. My God, only 15 more days.
I know.
We'll be in 2025.
Can you believe it? And how many more days of Christmas? Like, you know.
Nine.
Yeah, it's counting down.
Yeah. I'm good, though.
I bought you a new car.
Did you?
Brand new car.
Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're grateful to have you. We need you to stand by just for a minute for this message. And we're going to get right with our first guest, Minister Steve. Or should
Wiley.
I say Stefan?
Stefan Wiley.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for correcting me.
Stefan.
Yes. Is it Stefan? All right, Steve.
Mr. Wiley, how about that? We'll be right back.
All right, we'll be right back with you.
Hundreds of shooting incidents and multiple victims. Homicides that were senseless, cold, intentional. Killing our men, women, and children in the African American communities. The question is, am I my brother or sister's keeper? Have we considered each other as neighbors? We can wait for someone to come in and save us, or we can save ourselves. The violence must end. Do your part.
Hey, listen, the holidays are here. Somebody wish they could have a family. Somebody wish they could have a tree. Somebody wish they could just have good holidays. It's not gonna happen. But at least we can do is give them a smile. We got a couple dollars dropped in the bucket.
Somebody needs to know the holidays. It's the holidays, and you wanna show some love. It's the holidays, straight from above. Show some love. If you can't do nothing else, show some love. If you don't know nothing else, give some love. If you can't give nothing else, you know that love goes wrong no way. That love goes wrong no way. Give some love if you can't do nothing else. Cause love goes wrong no way. Love goes wrong no way. Love goes wrong no way. Love somebody.
Sitting out in the cold, and she needs someone with love. Just show some love, show some love, show some more love.
Oh. Well, you were talking about a woman, bless God. Can I just say amen to that?
Amen. Hallelujah. Jump back and kiss yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Shake a tamarind.
And we're so grateful to have with us today Mr. Wiley, who has released a new single entitled Love Comes a Long Way.
That's right. Love Comes a Long Way. And he's a powerful recording artist, has lots of records out. We've even done some records with him in the past. So.
Yes, we have. So he's returning by popular demand back to the Bishop Mary Show. And we're so grateful that I know you are traveling in this rain, but you're choosing to join us, and we thank you so much. So what sparked you to write this particular song, especially for this season?
Well, The song is entitled "Love Goes a Long Way." Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people don't realize, I'm not worrying about if you can't buy me a diamond necklace or whatever they're looking for. But sometimes if you can just give somebody love. In this season, the world is missing the greatest commandment in the world. It's not to run out and steal somebody's pocketbook. It's not the greatest commandment. It's not yet and still to do some of the things that people might say, oh, that's ridiculous. But the greatest commandment is to love. You know, and in this season, a lot of times people just need to know, give a little love. You know, the woman that was needing a little coat, she needed a coat to give a lady, give her a jacket. I talked about a little further in the song, a man that just needed love, man. A lot of times people don't realize all you need is to be healed. It's just a little bit of love.
Well, of course, the best love we know is God's agape love, and that puts up with us no matter who or what we are. But of course, with you being a man of God, you understand that. And why do you think love is defined by so many things? Like you were talking about, whether it's a coat or a diamond, or it makes it, and the word just went right out of my head.
That's all right.
Materialistic.
Yeah, materialistic.
Like the only way you could show me love is how big my diamond is.
There you go.
The only way you can show me love is how nice a car you buy me.
That's what I got you.
Or a house you give me. Or things that you can give to me, and not necessarily your character, the person who you are. Even the frail moments that cause love to, what they say, according to the Bible, cover a multitude
of sins.
Bless you. So in this arena where you are doing this, particularly around the Christmas season, what is the message for folks to understand, particularly about the best kind of love you could have?
Well, what happened with me, I spoke to a brother. I went out to the same Wawa every day, and he out begging every day, and I was giving him money. I said, well, brother, I mean, do you really need money, or are you out there smoking some? Boy, what's going on with that? He said, man, I got a lot of stuff going on, man. Well, I said, well, here, man. I said, man, I love you, man. Happy holidays. Because sometimes you think everybody's out for the same thing, but sometimes love will look past what you might feel and just give them a little bit of love, because you never know what it's for. And just off the record, Brother Marcus, I called you not even 2 weeks ago. I said, Doc, I need you to help me with this song. What is the song?
Well, you know what? Since you're gonna bring that up, on the radio, I was just trying to prove to you I don't love you, brother. That's all that was. No, I'm just kidding. You're gonna put me on the spot, but God bless you, man. Listen. We'll talk. we're gonna talk.
Absolutely. I love the swag of it. I love the swag of the song. It's sort of a little bit on the R&B, kind of like, you know. The kind you would be, you know, if you had your lady with you, kind of like you'd be riding and it's, or you're in the house in front of a fireplace.
In other words, it's an inappropriate song. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's very,
I'm just teasing you.
For grown folk.
I'm just teasing you. It's a great record.
Now you sound like my Pentecostal family. No.
Nah, you know we love you, brother.
Yeah, man, like I said, This is the type of groove that my mom, being a overseer, 83 years old, was moving with it. You know what I mean? So I like this. You know, so it's because of the fact that, you know, love, when you talk about love, you ought to get excited.
Yeah.
Because the fact is that if I'm loving you and you loving her and she loving, at the end of the day, if the world can do love, we wouldn't have a lot of stuff we going on. So all we can do is put it out there the way we know how. And the Bible says that it takes a wise man to win souls. So however we come about it, it's because it's somebody that's not going to listen to Silver Bells.
You're right.
They might want to hear, love goes a long, long way. You know what I mean? So if you got to take it whichever way we can get it, you know. And like I said, I just love music. I don't do it for the money. I don't do it, you know, for no other reason than I love the Lord. I love his message. I love his gospel. And however we got to hit it and don't quit it. And make sure that they get the word, man.
Well, I know if the overseer.
Yes.
If the overseer, mm-hmm. come on here now, if the overseer gives approval, hey,
oh, yeah.
That speaks a lot. Because if nobody else going to tell you that you're wrong, that will be mama.
Yeah,
come on here.
That's
for
right.
Show enough.
Tell mama, you know yes, we man. Love you.
So we're glad that you're releasing this around this season, because people do, as you say, mm-hmm. he that wendeth souls is wise. And being a product of my late father, you have to, he had his unique way with the van and the coffin. But today you got to kind of not change the message, but maybe even give it a different approach.
Right, a different
message.
So that
somebody mm-hmm. can hear it and eventually come to say, hey, you know what? God is worth getting to know. And because the form is, as I already said, the purest form of love is God's love, because no matter who or what we are, mm-hmm. he still loves us. And I said this to an unsaved person just on yesterday, who said, God don't love me. I'm out here in the streets. And I was giving him a couple of dollars. He was a homeless guy. I said, yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Because he woke you up this morning. Oh, now you're sounding like my mama. Good. He woke you up this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know him, but he loved you to wake you up. And that's another day of hope. And so I got him a hot coffee and a sandwich out of Dunkin' Donuts and gave him a couple of dollars. And he said, what you doing it for? I said, because I need you to know that this is a tangible way of God's love. I don't know you, brother, and I can't rescue you from your situation, but mm-hmm. I can be kind and I can pay it forward.
Love goes a long way.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Love does go a long way. So how can people get a copy of this, or
in
if they
want
to download it mm-hmm. and get in touch with you if they need to?
It's going to be on all the main streaming apps starting at December 23rd.
Okay.
Everything that you go on, you can find it. Any main streaming, iTunes, Apple Music, anything you want, you can go get it right there. So like I said, it's there. And hopefully Brother Marcus will call me on one of his podcasts and I can get with him, and we can do some other stuff too.
Well, I'm going to tell you
we're on the Bishop Mary show right now.
Since we're on the Bishop Mary show, and he's my guest co-host, he's going to be a man of his word on that.
Yes.
I'm from the old school.
Yes.
Your word is your bond.
Yes,
hey.
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
I'm going to call you, brother.
So since you got my digits, you know what I'm saying? If it don't come to pass, you just holler at your girl.
I will call you today.
Bishop Mary, I appreciate you so much. I love your spirit. I love the way God uses you in love to mm-hmm. show love. And I just love you. You've done some awesome things. I've been listening off and on. And then just the way the Bible says, he that has friends must first show themselves friendly. When mm-hmm. I make it, you and Marcus both gonna have some stuff going on, you know, through me, because the fact that's what makes me move. You got to move something when you know that God is in it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
That's what makes me move.
Well, why don't you quote us your favorite verse as we close out on this interview with you live here on the Bishop Mary Show for today. Something that could be an encouragement to those who are listening.
I would say my favorite verse would be, I will bless the Lord at all times,
my
and
mind.
His praises shall continually be in my mouth. And the reason why I say that is because when David was going through his worst experience in his life, he was still saying, but God, I'm going to bless you. So I don't care how bad it look, what it look like, y'all. Christmas ain't going to never be, but so bad that you got to throw your hands up. Because God is still worthy. Thank you so much, Bishop Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brother
and
God.
Ladies
bless
and
you,
gentlemen,
man.
Please make sure that you get a copy of Love Goes a Long Way by Minister Stephen Wiley. It'll be released on December 23rd on all main digital streams. Mm-hmm. And you better bless yourself and then bless somebody else. Good to see you. Be safe. And we'll hope to see you again soon.
Yes, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, God bless, brother.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Minister Stephen Wiley, who mm-hmm. joined us to talk us about his new release that'll be coming out a week from today on December the 23rd in time for Christmas. Well, up next, we have our in-studio guest, Dr. Derek Guyton, who is back again.
I'm excited.
To talk about a really sensitive topic, but mm-hmm. one that is necessary. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with you.
I need you to survive. is as beautiful as you are. Let's do it one more time. Come on, open your mouth and say, I need you.
I need you.
Let me hear you. You need me.
You need me.
For we're all.
We're all a part of God's body.
Stand with me.
Stand with me.
Agree with me.
Agree.
I need you to survive. And I'm excited to have back with the Bishop Mary Show none other than the doctor, our mental health expert, Dr. Derek Guyton, and he is live here in the studio with us. Amen. He's here with Brother Marcus. Can you see?
Yeah, we can.
All right, we're adjusting.
On our cameras,
amen.
We're good.
Amen. Y'all all right?
Yeah, on our cameras, we're good.
All right. I can't see you, though, in my screen, but we're going to make it work. Somehow, some way, we're going to be all right. Amen.
Thank you.
And we're making an adjustment so we can see our guests. And then, Brother Marcus, you'll have to shoot over a little bit more so we don't see half your body.
All right.
There you go.
There we go.
I mean, I can't have two good-looking black men in the studio and then nobody can't see this. Amen. So this will be live to Facebook, and we want to make sure that those of us can see who we're talking about. But we have with us today Dr. Derek Guyton, who is the author of Mental Illness Behavior. And it is this question that really kind of provoked me from the first time he was here. Is it sin or sickness?
Wow.
And oftentimes the church doesn't know how to handle forms of mental illness or how to respond to it appropriately without condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a people, even though we believe in God, have a tendency to get really unsettled with things we don't understand.
Mm.
Now, my grandmama used to say, black people are scared of crazy people and dead people.
I know, right?
And if you're crazy, we're going to bind that Satan, demon, devil, and we're going to push him out. You know, and that's how it was in their day. They didn't know anything else because we had Byberry. We had other places for folks who seemed to have a little bit of a mental challenge that needed some help in their process. But what we do want to do is understand the necessity of being is it sin or is it sickness?
Yeah.
And he has written an revised update version of this book. And I'm grateful that he is back here with us today. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes, he is live here in the studio on a Monday morning.
Yes
indeed, after a heavy Sunday. Come on here, somebody. Amen. It makes me want to get up because I want to be here with us. So we're thankful that you're here, Dr. Guyton. And if you would not mind just sharing a little bit about how you came to the realization that your book needed to be published.
From my own experience in the church, from my when I got sick, I had a mental health episode, bipolar episode at my last church in California. So I really had it. It really inspired me because I got treated by the secular better than I did by the saints. At least I was able to, you know, get disability, you know, anonymity. When I got to the church, right, I left the church. It felt like I got kicked out, but I left the church. And because of the lack of understanding and how they treated as demonic, a spiritual failure, or demonic influence. And so I had been in, before I became a Christian, to give you a little background, before I became a Christian, I was a public school teacher, and I had 10 hospitalizations in 12 years, excuse me, in 10 years, mm-hmm. while I was teaching, and I was able to keep my job, all right? And when I had the church, it was different.
Right.
Wow.
And after I became a Christian, I went 23 years without an episode.
Wow.
And then I had another episode after 23 years at the church, all right? And they were so insensitive. And Christians, and I had been to a lot of churches. When I got to churches, if I preached or taught and I gave my background with mental illness, I was shunned, treated indifferent, you know. So that's what came up with the title.
Okay.
And and a little bit about me also. It's on the book, my biography, is that I say that confession is good for the soul. It can be bad for the reputation.
Oh, wow. Confession is good for the soul. But bad
can
for
be
the
bad.
Reputation.
Yes.
Explain that. I mean, we get it, but just break it down just a little bit.
Well, you know, like you get up in church and give your testimony.
Yes.
But you don't tell it all.
Exactly.
Right? But if you told it all, you know, it might mess up your reputation.
There you go.
And so with my book, it was very transparent. I said, well, at my age, you know, what I have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I just told it. You know, so I told it to the point where it make you blush. And half of the book bases my biography, autobiography, and it's to give me some credibility about what I'm going to say in my next four chapters.
Right.
All right? From my experience. I have been hospitalized after I got sick in the church in 4.5 years. I was hospitalized 11 times.
Okay.
Total of 21 times, okay? And I had 21 car accidents.
Wow. Wow.
Mutually exclusive. And 7 of my shouldn't have survived. Mm. 1 DUI. See, when you have that many accidents, that's not counting on the almost accidents.
Right, right,
right.
You know, so I shouldn't be here. Walked away from all of them. No injury. Never went to the hospital. And there was some pretty bad wrecks. So with that being said, I was able to teach 12 years. I was able to have my own computer companies. I was CEO of a profit and nonprofit. And then I became, and then I got 2 churches I pastored. And then I got a BA. 2 masters and 2 doctorate degrees.
2 doctorate degrees. All right, I want to pause for a second. Tell me about the 2 doctorate degrees. What do you have those in?
One is a doctor in divinity. The other was a doctor in ministry.
Okay, got
and
it.
I graduated with top honors in my the last doctorate program, and they gave me a $2,000 check.
Wow.
So whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
And a trophy. So, and I say all of that to say that it's an oxymoron.
You know,
you have the bad side, and all of a sudden you have the good side. And so because of my experience from the questions you asked, normally when I was on the station, we try to understand mental illness. And my book is more about what you can do. We need to have viable solutions, okay, and just talking about it and understanding it. There are viable solutions, but there's 2 that I want to talk about.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay. Stigma. Stigma is very hard for someone to understand if you don't have mental illness. It's another community. Because when I talk about it, whether it's to counselors, psychologists, mental health clinicians, they shy away from having peer-to-peer mental health support groups. They think you have to have a mental health professional there, psychologist, psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked to five different counselors, and they didn't see the need.
Okay.
But when, to make a long story short, summarization. And they have you have no idea how impactful that is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to try to stick to my script, but I forget that.
No, it's okay. I want you to. We want you to speak.
So the first thing that we have to talk about is stigma.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the second thing that people have to overcome?
Being able to tell their story.
Okay.
Tell mm-hmm. their story, like I told my story in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We have to be able to tell our story, and in the book, I give an outline, basically on what my book was, the chapters my book was on, what I did, what I could have done, mm-hmm. what others did, and what others could do, and what we can do.
Right, mm. right.
Now,
right.
in particularly with the church world, you started off originally saying that confession is good for the soul, but can be bad for the reputation. What do you think are some of the things that that prohibit the church from embracing someone who is a diagnosed
mm-hmm.
person with a form of mental illness? Why is that so difficult for the church to embrace? Because healing comes for cancer and high blood pressure
mm-hmm.
and diabetes and any other physiological ailment that we may have that God has not authored, but is a result of our frailties as humans. And then we get in church.
Well, the church really don't know about it because of the stigma. We keep it in the closet.
Mm.
Okay? And so, for example, I preached at my last sermon at two churches I preached at. One in Texas, the last church I was a member of, and in California, the last church I was a member of, right? So both times, I had nothing to lose, so I just put it out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I gave my testimony. I talked about mental health, mental illness, and I said, how many of you suffer from mental illness or know somebody with mental illness? Over half of the people raised their hand in both churches.
Mm.
And then they were coming to me afterwards, circling around me in line, just wanted to talk about it, tell me about themselves, a loved one. And the pastor has no clue.
Mm-hmm. About what's really going on with the membership.
All this is going on. These people are having all these problems with mental illness. The pastor has no clue because of stigma.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Even the family members, they don't want to tell you. And see, the thing about it, when you give your testimony, mm. right, you can stand up and say, well, pray for so-and-so, they have diabetes. Pray for so-and-so, they got cancer. Pray for this and that. But when it comes to mental illness, mm-hmm. Just pray for him. You know, he's going through something.
Oh, we don't call it like it is. We sure enough don't call it out like it should be.
Yeah, right.
And that's part of the problem, too, because what we're not being able to do is to embrace all of the facets of our ethnicity, all the facets of our community. We don't want to deal with the homeless because it might shine on us that we are not doing all we can to ensure even people that are homeless in our congregations.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay away from those topics that make us uncomfortable. And we just preach about God's love, and Jesus is a wonderful mm. person, and he loves you, and he wants to save you. Mm. But we don't want to talk about those things that make us uncomfortable. And I think it flows along the same way with abuse. Mm. No one's really going to get up and say, I'm in a domestic violence situation, because everyone will say that if God is greater in you than he is in the world, find your way out of there.
Mm.
Even if it's the first lady married to the pastor, she has to shun that and keep it to herself because she can't get up and say, my husband is doing such and such because that would just rock the whole world. So we as Christians have to learn how to deal with issues accordingly. But I know the mental illness in mm-hmm. some families runs very deeply
mm-hmm.
and it may even skip you. But the generation before or the generation after will have signs of it. How can a pastor, particularly in this season, with everything being so heavy, make sure that he has good health, mental health? What is it that he would need to do to protect himself and get also make sure that his mental health stability is maintained?
Well, I say one of the best thing he can do is pray.
Mm-hmm.
I found out, I have it in the book, I can't remember all of it right now, but in studies they found out people who prayed for themselves and those who prayed for them had 50% more success rate with their particular disease.
Mm.
I think it was heart disease.
Okay.
Okay. And then one study, it shows, it gave it a different one. When you pray for yourself, I think it went up to like 80%.
Right.
People were getting better. So prayer, having prayer and people praying for you, all right, that's what's going to help the pastor.
Okay. Mm.
Okay. That's going to help him. And, you know, you have to be, let's say, more specific, but it's you know, just pray for the pastor's health, his well-being, because you can't tell it all. Because I, in my study, I've shown a list of where pastors who have shared that they had a mental illness, they were kicked out of the church. They were pushed out, all right? And the irony is, you don't, like when I left my church, I didn't even get a severance package, all right? And some other pastor did too, because by state law, all right, you don't have to give compensation or severance pay to a pastor because they don't want to mess with church and state.
Right.
But with other than that, when I was in secular, they had to allow me to get help.
Right.
All right. And pay me.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All
right. Mm-hmm.
But
oh, yeah.
The church just kicked you to the curb. All right. And I the irony is, I was in the hospital. I went to 5 hospitals in 13 weeks.
Mm.
And then I came back to the church. I brought a Christian counselor and a psychologist to the church to help the people understand what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And don't you know, hardly any of them showed up?
Wow.
Wow.
That's right. None of them really showed up.
Wow.
And you tried to explain it. And we had a long meeting, and I tried with tears to explain what was going on. And I had another pastor that was moderating the meeting. It was a large group there. And they were saying, Reverend Guyton, Pastor Guyton, I love you, but. That's all I can remember. I love you, but. That's all I can remember. I love you, but. I left with tears in my eyes. My wife said, don't you ever cry from the people again.
No, that's right.
It never let them see you sweat.
It's the wife that's going to put it in tow. We're going to break right now with our interview, and we're going to hear from Sports Talk Terry. Listen, you know Philly is, well,
on
this
fire.
Crazy. I'm crazy about all sports. And so
Sports
we're
Talk
going
Terry,
to be
he got it.
Talking with him right now. As he comes on, and we're grateful that he's here.
Yeah.
What's up?
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. I'm Sports Talk Terry with your Philly Sports Minute. Coming into what was expected to be the toughest game of the season for the Eagles, facing a top 10 defense for only the second time this year, they took care of business against the Pittsburgh Steelers, comfortably getting ahead and pretty much staying ahead. And finally, after weeks of commotion and confusion and back and forth questions about the Eagles passing game sparked by the comments by A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurts got it going, throwing 290 yards and 2 touchdowns, clicking on all cylinders in the passing game. Devontae Smith, 11 catches over 100 yards. A.J. Brown, 8 catches, 110 yards and a touchdown for both men. And it finally looks like that offense is clicking on all cylinders. And it kind of answered all the pundit questions, you know, if this team was going to go far, how good would they look? Well, they looked very good yesterday against a very good defense. So now the Eagles sitting at 12-2 in firm position to earn a bye if the Lions happen to lose out one more game after they lost a barn burner against the Buffalo Bills yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Have already pretty much clinched the division with 3 games left to play. They do have They're probably most challenging game left against the Washington Redskins this weekend down in the D.C. area. So that'll be the last game of the season where you kind of wonder what's going to happen. And I think that, honestly, if they do win that game and the Lions happen to win the game, they might just rest starters to stay prepared for the playoffs. But that's what you got to watch at this point, just kind of getting healthy and ready for the playoffs. Outside of that, I mean, obviously the Sixers continue to lose. Now Jarrett McCain, rookie sensation, is out indefinitely with a torn meniscus. Could miss anywhere from 1 to 2 months. Embiid with a sinus injury. I mean, at this point, the wheels are falling all off of that bus. So it might be time to just kind of shut it down and tank on a decent draft this year.
Yeah.
And look towards what they can do to kind of build themselves for the future. And that's pretty much all we have this week. Obviously, the team is buzzing. You know, everybody's excited as the team continues to win. But you guys make sure that you stay tuned to us next week. We'll be able to recap the Washington Redskins versus the Philadelphia Eagles, which will indefinitely wrap up the division one way or the other. And we'll see how things go. Make sure you guys follow me on all social media platforms at Sports Talk Terry. You can get your news here every single Monday on the Bishop Mary Show.
Thanks a lot, Sports Talk. Keep us informed. You know how we are about Philly sports. We appreciate you.
Philly's wild.
Thank you.
And, well,
we are back.
The wheels have fallen off.
I know for
on the Sixers. Lord help us.
Just pray for that.
We're grateful to have Dr. Guyton right here with us live in the studio. And we thank you so much that you were here. Yes.
He has a plethora of knowledge of his life experiences and things of that nature. So we first of all, I want to say I appreciate you coming on the show, being so open and candid about mental health and what we need to be doing and how people are viewing mental health in the church. We know outside of the church it's different. Inside of the church, a lot of ridicule. And so we're trying to navigate through that. So
And one of the things, and I really, before I leave, I really have to nail this. What can we do? All right? Because we get to all this understanding. What can we do? And just give you an example of the stigma. CBS took a toll of 1,292 people. 86% of them nationwide suffer from mental illness felt that stigma and discrimination was related to the illness. And so, again, what's really needed, when I say tell your story, all right, I'm telling my story, right? And the scripture says he comforts us in all our tribulations so we can comfort others with the same comfort we were comforted with. That's what the book is about. That's what the testimonies are about, all right? And when you give your testimony in the church or whatever, you do it from your own experience and from my experience. That's what is so important about mental health support groups. Right, I lost in 4 years, I lost my mother this year. I lost a brother the year before that. I lost another brother before that, another brother, 3-4 years in a row, right? And they were my go-to. I lost them. I really need a mental health support group so I can find a friend. You know, and with loved ones, all right, you have three types identified. Co-effective, those are the ones who are indifferent towards a loved one. Then you have co-addicted, all right? It messes up their quality of life, all right? Where they have a hard time functioning, going to school, working. My mother said one time she thought she was losing her mind, okay? And so that's co-addicted. Then you have co-dependent, all right? They don't lose their quality of life, although they're still being a caregiver to their loved one. So these are the stages. This is what you need, support groups for the loved ones, all right? And I've seen them. When I was in Southern California, in San Bernardino, they had plenty of mental health support groups. But other than that, I haven't been able to find them. After that, I lived in Texas, all right? Texas to New Jersey, to Delaware, to Maryland, couldn't find him. Couldn't find him. And so that's what loved ones need, their support group as well as those with it. Okay? And again, people do not really understand how deep the stigma is. I've lost friends, Mm-hmm. I've been treated indifferently. You know, I'm in another community.
Right.
It's another community that I can talk to other ones with this illness. All right. And it brings you to tears. You know, you have to fake normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Fake
normalcy.
Wow.
Okay. Like, I'll give you an example. One of my brothers died, and I was staying with his wife in the house for a few days, and everybody was worried about nicknamed Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I said to her after a few days, I said, I know everybody's worried about me. All right. But I'm doing fine. You know, and she said, well, I heard something like that. And one time I was playing with my grandkids, you know, mm-hmm. thumbing around and all kind of things. And then somebody said to my daughter, is he all right?
Mm.
See, you have to fake normalcy. And then there's the thing where, like I said, with support groups, you have nowhere to go. And when I got saved based on that, I had come out of a psych ward,
mm-hmm.
my 10th psych ward. And I was crying. I went to an AA meeting. I said, this ain't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
I left the AA meeting because I had nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. And that's one of our, if you don't have a support group, whether your loved one
mm-hmm.
or with the mental illness, you find out you have nowhere to go. You can't find that support. And I was crying with tears riding my car. The Lord touched me.
Mm-hmm.
My life has never been the same.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's. Let me ask you this: How I know you mentioned wife earlier. You know,
mm-hmm.
how was it for her? You know, while working and managing you.
Well, let me tell you right now, I'm not married.
Okay. Okay.
So we end up. I have in my book the most embarrassing
mm-hmm.
was to have a divorce.
Okay. Dealing with this.
It was a result of this.
Right.
Yeah, it was a result of this. It was difficult for her, especially with all that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, we still have a good relationship
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing with the grandkids. Sometimes we go on a vacation together.
Oh, okay, good.
You know,
good.
So we have a real good relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So we really.
Mm-hmm. And that's prominent, particularly that you maintained a good relationship despite. Mm-hmm. And as you stated, this can be a result
mm-hmm.
of being diagnosed, and it's an ongoing daily regimen to make sure that, are you okay? And a lot of people now are saying, it's okay to not be okay. But when you hear that, mm-hmm. really? Like, you know, when you start to say, if someone got up in church and said, I'm really not okay, and I feel like killing everybody in here.
That part.
I'm telling you that, you know, the security. You know, somebody going to grab the bag. They're going to pat them down. They're going to mm-hmm. help them out the door. You know, because come on, because, you know, we don't need no shoot-up. We don't need mm-hmm. no massacre.
Yes.
We always think of the worst.
Right.
But people cannot always be transparent. And I've had to tell people, know your audience. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Know your audience.
Yes.
Because you can testify and they will make it a test a lie.
Mm-hmm.
So you really have to know that I have those folks that are going to care for me and be there for me in spite of what state I am. And I'm grateful for them. Because if you have good friends and somebody who's sticking with you, that's also a good thing. Of course, we do know the latest statistics is that 78% of pastors don't even think they have one true friend. Mm. So you add that dynamic on top of being alone, the insurmountable pressure sometimes from pastoring. Mm. I mean, everybody pulling at you, you still have to deal with making sure that you are okay.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a real simple, the only word in the alphabet. No.
Yes.
Sometimes it works.
Yeah,
I had to.
No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not good. So no, I can't go see all the sick and shut in.
Yeah.
So you know, deacon and associate minister, you take care of that. No, I know that I'm tired, and as much as I would love to be there, I need to rest. Those are things that are necessary. Necessary.
That's
I feel that are also great with your. Your state of mental health, particularly during this season,
mm-hmm.
where it becomes much more prevalent. Mm-hmm. especially. We don't want to have you out of the screenshot, Doctor.
Yeah, lean in.
There you go. And the only reason why is because everybody says the holidays makes you depressed. And you're thinking about all of those you love. And, oh, my God, there's no such worth in. And how am I going to get through it?
Well, let me ask this question, Doctor.
And so what I've and I just shared this with my church yesterday. Mm-hmm. What I said to them was, God knew what he was doing. Mm. The human size of us would never want anyone to go. I mean, there are some people we hope go faster. just being transparent. You ain't had to take the favor because you took the one I don't like. But even God in his infinite wisdom, since they don't belong to us, they're just loaned to us. Mm-hmm. We have to look at the fact that God in his infinite wisdom did what he needed to do according to his will for their lives. Mm-hmm. And that we who are saved have to embrace that. Do you miss them? Yeah. Do you want to talk to them? Yeah. You want to pick up the phone? Absolutely. You want them to sit at the table in that empty chair? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. However, the fact that God blessed them to be in your life. Mm-hmm. Come on, somebody.
Yeah, about to go to church.
The moment that they were in your life for however long they were, you ought to give him thanks.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
You ought to give him thanks. And you were sharing about losing three brothers and your mom. That can be overwhelming, I'm certain. So how did you maintain your good health through even that period of what would be considered heavy grief?
Well, see, what you don't understand is that you don't have to, there's good triggers and there's bad triggers, all right? And you also have to understand that you can have, like cancer, remission, all right?
So I'm
in remission, all right? I had a blackout and a mania episode in May the 3rd in 2023. Okay, and you never know when you're gonna come out of remission. Okay, and one of the things I wanted to really mention before we go is that the hospitals. I've been in 21 hospitals. I never saw a clergy.
Wow.
Never. Nobody came and gave us candy, flowers, or pray over us, or had a ministry team.
Wow.
But in that, you know, I have to say, we didn't really want, we were trying to hide our sickness anyway, so.
Oh, they down in the psych ward, y'all. I don't know about that.
But, you know, somebody could come to the psych wards. We're lucid enough to be able to accept Christ, all right, to understand biblical truths, all right? And we have counseling sessions. So, yes, start coming to the psych wards, church. That'll help you get a better understanding.
Yeah.
Of what's going on. Now I'm diagnosed with schizoaffective type with bipolar 1. So I covered it. So I know the whole gamut just about.
Right.
And I experience
like you understanding it and you're living it.
Yeah.
But I have a question for just more of a personal question. Like how are you faring out over the holiday season? Since we did talk about, you know, a lot of people say that this is a very depressing time of the year, as Bishop Mary was mentioning earlier. How are you faring out over this season?
My medicine is my grandkids.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good.
So I'm doing fine.
That's good.
You know, and I don't dwell. And remember, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Okay? We don't grieve like those.
Who have no hope.
No, we don't grieve like those that what is it?
Who have no hope.
Yeah, we don't grieve like those who have no hope. All right? So that's what helps me. When I was 22, I was married 5 months and my wife died.
Oh, wow.
That was my trigger.
That was your trigger.
But there's good and bad triggers, all right? I got excited when I was getting a new Corvette. When I was teaching, I went off. All right, I got a degree. I won a master. I went off. So there's positive. You can't always say it's something bad, but that way you redefine your life. I have to keep living. You know, I can't. My quality of life is upset because you're saying this is the trigger. It's always bad triggers. No, and then again, there'll have to be triggers. You just come out of remission.
That's right.
So they change your quality of life.
That's right. So I'm so grateful that you came this way today as we wrap up our interview with you. And we introduced you with a song, I Need You to Survive. And I think that sometimes we have to care about somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
And I need you, you need me. We're all part of God's family.
Makes me want to cry.
You know? Yeah. And we have to sometimes be a little more sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
And still show love.
Absolutely.
We talked about love with Minister Stephen Wiley.
How fitting.
And his new song, Love mm-hmm. Goes a Long Way. And love is what's going to propel us, even if we don't understand, to mm-hmm. care.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what to do, a hug sometimes will do. Mm-hmm. A smile will do. A thank you. Great things for us to embrace. So, Doctor, where can people get a copy of your book?
It's on Amazon.
It's on Amazon.
All right. You can even type in my name and it'll come up.
Okay.
All right. So, Derek Guyton, DereckGuyton, or go under mental illness, behavior, sin, or sickness.
Right. And so for those of you who want to have much more of an exploration of this topic, mm-hmm. when you're thinking about somebody, get the book. It's worth the investment. Read it, peruse it, so that those that will be in need will hear it as well. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you, Doctor.
And I'm poised for workshops.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
All right,
awesome.
So how would they get in touch with you?
Dial 909.
Okay.
659-2112.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What's that number again?
909-659-2112.
2112, 909-659-2112. If you need or you want Dr. Guyton to come and even do a Wednesday night Bible study or a special seminar on mental illness behavior, sin or sickness, that can help the congregation mm-hmm. to know the difference between really a demon that we need to pray out
mm-hmm.
or someone who might be in need of mm-hmm. some special care. Despite their physiological state. Thank you again so much. We're grateful
you,
that
thank
you were
thank
here.
You. Thank you for having
and
me.
As Appreciate we
you.
Begin to, hey, it's already that time.
Yeah.
But I must give a shout out. Absolutely fabulous on Tuesday. Come on, somebody. Dr. J. Donald Thompson did that thing. The choir was spectacular, but the hit was the maestro, the choir master himself.
Ricky Dillon. Ricky Dillon.
He danced all across that show. Yes, he did. And he lit that place up. And so congratulations for your 11th year of Soulful Christmas. I promise to give you a shout out. And it will be airing live on Christmas Day on WURD and any other stations that you can find out. WDAS, I believe, as well. So please don't miss it. You'll be blessed by not only the reflective words, but the music. The choir was phenomenal. And we're so grateful that we were there on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I wanted to see the maestro himself. Wait till you see his uniform. You'll understand.
Let me say this. Bishop Mary was fabulous. Y'all should have saw what she had on. I was like, Bishop Mary, see, you played too much. I was in here looking all underdressed. But you were fire. My wife was like, that's Bishop Mary. I said, I said, don't you know how to put it down?
Listen, we was at the Kimball Center. We hear somebody. Well, we're going to close out because we certainly don't want to be over time. We certainly hope that you will have a safe week. Join us next week for an exciting Christmas show.
Yes.
Amen, me and Brother Marcus.
We're going to
be doing some spins and singing and caring up a little bit.
Telling some stories.
That's right. And we thank you. As always, if you can't be good, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be careful.
Then don't do it.
It may not be worth it.
Absolutely.
Thanks again
not.
To my co-host, Brother Marcus, to our in-studio guest, Dr. Guyton, to Minister Stephen Wiley, and to you for tuning us in today. Be safe, and more importantly, be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
Let the healing begin with you. See you next week for another great time together on the Bishop Mary Show. Thank you.